following talk is from St. Michael's Fulwell, a gospel-centered community for Fulwell, Teddington, and beyond. Our passion is to see every life following Jesus. For more information, visit our website, stmichaelsfulwell.co.uk.
Now, if you were here last week, you'll know that we started a two-parter in looking at friendship. What does the Bible have to say about friendship? And in a second, Ed will come and preach the sequel to us, Friendship Strikes Back. But before that happens, we're going to have our reading together. So why don't we grab our Bible and someone, Louise, is going to come and do our reading for us.
When Simon sent me this, he said, "How are you with weird names? I apologise in advance." "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the Church of Cenchreae. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junior, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Protobus, Hermas, and the other brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philogus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the Lord's people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings."
Well done. Fantastic. And we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at that, but actually we're looking at lots of different parts of the Bible. But there's a reason why we looked at, have just had Romans 16, and we'll think about that in a moment. There's some handouts coming out, which is quite important today, because we're jumping around different parts of the Bible, and you've got all the key verses on this handout, so that will come to you in just a moment. Sometimes people like to jot down notes, feel free to do that. Otherwise, enjoy not doing that, whatever you prefer to do. Great, and we're thinking about friendship. This is sort of part two. Many of you were here last week. If you weren't here last week, you can catch up on that through the podcast if you would like to. I'll do a quick recap in a few moments' time. Let's pray first. Let's pray as we come to God's word and seek his help in this really important area of friendship. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that your word speaks into every aspect of our lives. And Lord, we thank you that you have much to say to us about friendship. Lord, please, would you speak to us by your Spirit through your word. Give us attentive hearts and minds. Lord, encourage us, we pray, in this whole area. And point us to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Above all, we pray. In his name, amen. Friendship halves our troubles and doubles our joys. So said J.C. Ryle about 120-odd years ago. Friendship halves our troubles and doubles our joys. And I guess for many of us, we'll say yes, absolutely. I know that experience of friendship really helping me when I'm in trouble, and magnifying the joys of life. And yet I also guess that most of us, all of us, will probably say, well, sometimes the opposite is true. Sometimes friendship doubles our troubles and halves our joys. Because friendship is quite complex, isn't it? It is a great joy. It can also be a source of real sadness. And perhaps above all, it can be an area of real confusion, complexity. We're spending these 2 weeks, as I said, looking at this topic. The Bible has lots to say on it. And I just want to, as we begin, just point to four books that have I found really helpful on this, that you might like to have a look at over the course of the summer. Pick out one of these. Many of these will be available, if not all of them, on our Solar and Summer bookstall over this summer. But some really helpful books here. Rebecca McLaughlin, there on the left. That is our book of the term, No Greater Love. That is a wonderful book in which Rebecca McLaughlin is incredibly vulnerable, actually, in laying it all out, her experience of friendship, pointing us to the Bible. Vaughan Roberts is a really helpful book, True Friendship, very short. That one, very practical. Drew Hunter, Made for Friendship, excellent on what the whole Bible has to say about friendship, but also really practical. And Christine Hoover, Messy, Beautiful Friendship. I know many have really appreciated that book, particularly wanting to speak to women and friendships with women, and a really wonderfully helpful book. We'll come back to some of Christine Hoover's helpful thoughts over the course of the next 20 minutes or so. But there are four books that you would do well if you wanted to invest any time this summer into any of those. Now let's begin by just thinking about the big picture of friendship. We need to understand friendship in the big picture of the Bible. We spoke a little bit about last week. We were sort of building the structure of the house. This week we will spend a bit of time looking at the decoration and the furniture and all the rest of it. But the big structure of it is something worth thinking about, because we can do a sort of overview of friendship through the Bible. And it can be summarized in these words. God walked with us in friendship, Genesis 1 and 2. God walked with us in friendship. That picture of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, walking with God in friendship. But Genesis 3 speaks about how we walked away from God. And as we did so, we condemned ourselves ultimately to loneliness and broken relationships, both with God and with one another. And that is the world in so many ways we inhabit today. And yet, the Bible tells us right from the start, God is going about befriending us again. It started with that amazing call in Genesis 3, verse 9. Where are you? As Adam and Eve hid from God, he walked out and he said that question, where are you? And he's asking that question to us all today. Where are you? Perhaps you're not a Christian. You wouldn't describe yourself as a Christian. And you think, where's God? Well, hear this. This is what God says to you here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. Where are you? I'm coming. I want a relationship with you. And I'd love you to come to know me. And how do we get to know him? Well, as the Bible goes on, we come to the time when God came into our world in Jesus Christ. He took on flesh. And one of the ways in which Jesus is described is as the friend of sinners. Isn't that an amazing description? Sinners, that's simply a way of describing us as being people who've walked away from God. And Jesus comes as a friend of sinners. And we're told, greater love has no one than this, Jesus said, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And that is what Jesus did. He laid down his life for us. He went to the cross alone. He was cut off even from God so that our relationship with him could be restored. And now he invites us into friendship with him. Revelation 3 verse 20, this wonderful invitation. Jesus says this, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. That sign of friendship, eating together. Jesus says, I'm here, I'm knocking, just open the door. Ask me in, and I want to be friends with you. And this is a friendship, we're told, that goes on into all eternity. Jesus said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Do we realise how precious it is to know friendship with God, friendship with Jesus Christ? Charles Spurgeon said this, in the heart of our Lord Jesus, there burns such friendship towards us that all other forms of it are as dim candles to the sun. Do you realise how much Jesus loves you? And what an amazing friend he is. And of course, this is the foundation for all our friendship. As we're restored in our relationship with God, we also get restored in relationships with those around us, with his people. And we're told by Jesus to love each other as I have loved you. The shape of our love for others is to be the shape of God's love, Jesus' love for us. So that's the overview. That's the big picture of the Bible. We spent time last week thinking about that. This week, I particularly want us to spend some time looking at Proverbs and the wisdom the Bible gives us for friendship. Proverbs, we'll also look at some parts of the New Testament as well. Because we need wisdom in friendship. One way of thinking about this is, this is a little bit like sort of looking at the different ingredients that make up healthy friendship. But don't think of it like a cake set of ingredients. You know how it is? If you're making a cake, you need to be incredibly precise in your ingredients. You need to measure it out exactly right, and then you'll get your perfect cake. That's not what we're doing here this morning. Rather, think sort of, I don't know, paella or stir fry or a stew or something like that. We're just going to try and find some of the best ingredients that we put together into these things to make up what does healthy friendship look like. There are probably other things. There no doubt are other things we could add to it. Exactly what quantities and exactly how it's all shaped. Well, we need wisdom for that. We're all in different situations. We're all in different circumstances. And it's worth just recognising that with friendship. We are all in very different situations and very different circumstances. Right now, we might be feeling very differently about hearing a sermon on friendship. It might be right now we're really feeling lonely. Or we might be feeling really overwhelmed by people. It changes over time in different times in our lives. We might be feeling unbelievably busy and overstretched and just think, how can I give any time to friends? I would love to. For others of us, we have time and space and we're not sure how to use it well. Maybe we're feeling really encouraged by friendship at the moment. Maybe we're feeling very burnt by friendship. Something's gone wrong in the past or recently and we're struggling with it. All our circumstances are different. All our temperaments are different. So we need to pray for wisdom in this whole area. We don't want to be too prescriptive. But here are sort of five different ingredients I think the Bible gives us which can help build healthy friendships. So here they are. You've got them on your handout. Let's get stuck into them. So first, choose well. Choose your friends well. Now let me explain what I mean by this, because you can think back to the sort of playground, can't you? And yes, it was all about choosing your friends well and finding the most popular people or whatever it might be. But that's not what the Bible is saying here. Proverbs 12, verse 26 says this, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. The point here that Proverbs is making is that friendships will shape us for good or for ill. Friendships, they can raise us up or they can bring us down. First we choose our friends and then our friends shape us. And often it's quite a slow thing. It's something we don't necessarily notice. It's like sort of going away to Australia for 6 months. And gradually you start to develop an Australian twang. And you don't even realise it. And you come home and people say, that sounds a bit Australian. Friendships, they will shape us bit by bit. Proverbs 22, verse 24 says this: do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. Proverbs 25, verse 19, like a broken tooth or a lame foot is reliance on the unfaithful in a time of trouble. In other words, they don't help very much. They can be a real pain. The point is, if we make friends with those who are, say, full of anger, or friends who are just constantly disloyal, or friends who are manipulative, or gossips, or stirrers, or even just people who are just full of worldly advice, who keep taking us away from Christ, if those are the people we spend a lot of time with and allow deep into our hearts, then they're going to shape us. And that's going to lead us into trouble. Yes, the Bible says we are to love everyone. We're to love everyone. But we are to take care who we spend our time with in friendship, who we open ourselves fully up to, who we allow to shape and influence us. Proverbs 13, verse 20, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Proverbs 18, verse 24, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. We're to choose our friends well. Who are the people who are going to be shaping us in our lives? And you might say a number of things in response to this. One, you might say, I would love to be able to choose friends. I would love to be able to choose friends, but I just struggle to make friends. Well, if that's you, be patient. Friendships, they take time. Start with the people that the Lord has put into your lives, the people around you. Be prepared to take the initiative in friendship. And here's the question to be asking in our mind is not who can be my friend, but rather how can I be a friend to others? Not who can be my friend, but how can I be a friend to others? One of the ways of describing this is imagine you're walking into a room. What is going on in our minds? Are we thinking, here I am? Or are we thinking, there you are? Are we thinking, here I am? Or are we thinking, there you are? Because the difference is all the difference in the world. And it's a deeply gospel-shaped difference. As we enter a room, are we looking out for others? Thinking, who can I be a friend to? Or are we thinking, who can be my friend? Here I am. Hugh Black, who wrote a big book on friendship, said this: the way to get is to give. The way to get is to give. That's a really deep Christian principle, I think. Another thing we might say is, you know, I've just got too many friends. I am feeling absolutely overwhelmed by people at the moment. I've just got so many people in my life. And that's something, what a blessing. A huge thing to give thanks for. Christine Hoover, in her book, Messy Beautiful Friendship, talks about friendship magnets. People who just have an amazing gift of friendship. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to have. I think Christine Hoover gives some really good advice to friendship magnets. It's this: yes, you need to honour everyone. You need to love everyone. But you can only deeply connect with a few. Realistically, really opening your life up. You can only realistically do that with a few. Don't want to put a number on it. It depends on our capacity and all sorts of situations. But yes, love everyone, but you can only deeply connect with a few. Another thing we might say is, I've already got my friends. I've already got them. I don't need new friends. And it's worth saying, old friends are very precious, aren't they? Old friends, they know our history, where we share history with people. It means we're known even more, and to be known is a very, very precious thing. So yes, keep investing in old friendships, but also don't miss out on friendships around you in the here and now, and particularly in the proximity, in the place in which we live. Old friends might be dotted around all over the country. We're so mobile in our lives today. Don't miss out on the friends that are around us right now in this particular season of our lives. Proverbs 27 verse 10 says this: better a neighbor nearby than a relative far away. There's something very precious about people nearby. Which means that church is such a precious place, isn't it? All these wonderful people here that we can share life with, that we can share friendship with. As a church, is why we invest a lot in home groups and encourage everyone to be part of a small group, whether Tuesday, Wednesday evenings or Wednesday mornings, part of Oasis. A great way to invest in other people. Many people have really appreciated being in prayer triplets. And that might be something that you would love to be able to do, to join a prayer triplet. Maybe with two other people. I could call it a quadruplet, make it four, whatever. And to meet regularly with other people, to share life, to pray. Those can be such precious relationships. And you might be thinking, well, who on earth am I going to do that with? Well, why not ask someone? They say, no, that's fine. Or if you're not sure who to ask, come speak to me. So come and speak to someone on the staff team, and we'll be delighted to connect people up for that. But don't miss out on the friendships available in the here and now, people around us. So that's the first point. Choose friends well. Linked to it is the second one. Let your friendship groups be porous. It's just worth saying about friendship. There is something very different between friendship and marriage. A marriage is covenantal and by nature is exclusive. Friendships are not that. It's not a sort of zero-sum game. There's an openness, there's a porousness to friendships. Of course, old friendships are incredibly valuable and you want to hold on to them. But as we've been saying, don't miss out on the opportunity of new friendships as well. Romans 15, verse 7 says this: we're to welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. We want to be welcoming in our friendships, open to new friendships. I love the way Rebecca McLaughlin puts it. She says this: we welcome friends with open arms and hold them with an open hand. We welcome friends with open arms and hold them with an open hand. That's a beautiful picture, isn't it, of friendship. Not sort of hoarding friends for ourselves. We're delighted when other people make friends with our friends. It might be that our friends need to be moving off to pastures new. And that can be a painful thing. But again, we need to be able to let people go in those situations. And actually sharing friendship with other people, that is a very precious thing. C.S. Lewis, who we're quoting much on this, who has lots to say on friendship, made a wonderful observation about friendship. He recognised how his other friends drew out things from his friendship. So his friendship with J.R. Tolkien, which we'll think about a little bit later on as well, was even richer by Tolkien having other friendships. He says this, here's what he says: in each of my friends there is something that only some other friend can fully bring out. By myself, I am not large enough to call the whole man into activity. That's a brilliant phrase, isn't it? By myself, I'm not large enough to call the whole man into activity. In other words, it's wonderful where you have a group of friends and yeah, you bring one side out of a friend, but then someone else in your friendship group brings another side out. It's wonderful to see. So be open-handed with our friendships. And linked with this, C.S. Lewis, he also talks about the danger of the inner ring. Have you come across that idea, the inner ring? He gave a famous sermon on the inner ring, C.S. Lewis, a famous talk about it. And it's really the idea that there's an in crowd. And he kind of observes, just in human society, there's always the in crowd. There is always the inner ring. And his big warning is be careful about desiring to be in the inner ring. He says this, I believe that in all our lives at certain periods and in many lives at all periods between infancy and extreme old age, one of the most dominant elements is the desire to be inside the local ring and the terror of being left outside. Have you ever experienced that? I'm sure we've all experienced that. That desire to be in the inner ring. He really warns against it because he says it's a bit like trying to get into an onion. You keep peeling away the layers and there's another inner ring and then another inner ring. And you keep going and there's nothing there. It's just not, doesn't really go anywhere. So he warns against wanting to be in the inner ring. And of course, churches are to be distinct on this. We don't want to have inner rings. We don't want to desire to be inner ring. We're looking the other direction. We want to be churches that welcome one another as Christ has welcomed us. So let your friendship groups be porous. So choose friends well. Let your friendship groups be porous. Third, communicate with candor and care. Communicate with candor and care. I love the description of Jesus at the beginning of John's Gospel when Jesus comes into this world and he is described as coming full of truth and grace. Full of truth and grace. And I love that image of Jesus. And Jesus says to us, love each other as I have loved you. In other words, we're to love one another with truth and with grace. We're to do too, which means that in our friendships, we're to communicate with truth, with candor, with an openness with one another, but also with care, doing it lovingly, doing it graciously. So with a candor, a sort of openness, we want to be transparent. That doesn't mean sharing all our deepest lives with everybody. There's an appropriate level of candidness with different people, but there's always openness, there's always transparency, appropriate vulnerability, but also we're to communicate with one another lovingly and carefully. James 1 verse 19 says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. That's great advice in friendship. Really listen to one another and slow to speak. Proverbs 15, verse 23, a person finds joy in giving an apt reply. And how good is a timely word? And that does bring us to a point. Part of our candor is sometimes saying some difficult things to our friends. Proverbs 27, verse 5, better an open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. That's a really penetrating proverb, that. How often we can multiply and just flatter people. Even when something's not right. And we need to say something. And it's awkward to do it. But it's important that we do. It's part of friendship. Better a wound from a friend than to multiply kisses. But that's not easy to do, and we need to take great care in how we do it. We want to be careful. It's not just saying the truth, but without love. That's just blunt, and that hurts, and that bruises. But real love does actually involve, at times, saying hard truths to one another. And it's worth thinking, don't be so defensive that we make it impossible for people to correct us. Be open to that. Be open to hearing perhaps difficult things. But let's be correcting one another with real care and a loving heart. And with this, it's worth thinking that sometimes we think how we build friendships is to sort of try and impress the other person by who we are. But actually, it's totally the opposite. Friendships really get set on fire through vulnerability. Christine Hoover again says this. She describes vulnerability as the spark that lights the fire. Vulnerability, the spark that lights the fire of friendship. It's that moment when we let people into our lives. And we know that. I guess we know that. When people are vulnerable, you actually feel drawn to them and warmed to them. Again, that doesn't mean sharing the deepest things with every single person, but perhaps just little steps of being vulnerable and open and honest with each other. For example, asking for help. That's a vulnerable thing to do. And yet it builds relationships. One, just say, I need some help here. Asking for prayer. Sharing sin. Being willing to cry in front of others. The New Testament often speaks of one anothering people. There are lots of verses where we're to do to one another. And actually, let me just read them out to you. And what's striking about them is they all require vulnerability. So we're to confess our sin to one another, we're to love one another, we're to instruct one another, we're to serve one another, we're to bear with one another, we're to forgive one another, spur on one another, pray for one another. They all require vulnerability. So communicate with candor and care. Fourth, bear with one another. Bear with one another. I find this a great relief to know. The Bible expects us in our relationships, in our friendship, to have to bear with one another. In other words, we're imperfect and we're going to need bearing with. There is a huge danger, isn't there, in thinking, if only I find the perfect friend, everything's going to be fine. And they should be out there. There is the perfect friend out there. Again, Christine Hoover, she speaks of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who had this idea that with friendship, we have what he calls a wish dream. And strangely, we don't have it in many other areas of life, but somehow in friendship, we do. And this is the wish dream, that there is a perfect and easy friendship out there. And I just need to find that person. It's the friend who only ever says the right thing, who is always available, who instinctively knows exactly what I need at just the right time, who can literally read my mind. That is our wish dream. And where's my friends who are like that? And of course, they don't exist. Friends like that don't exist. Because none of us are like that. And so crucial to our relationships is just living in the reality of our fallenness. That we will need to bear with, we will need to forgive one another. And yet we find it so hard to do with our friends. I was struck by Matt Fuller in his book, Be True to Yourself. He was quoting someone from his church who said this. I think that some of us here are less willing to forgive our friends than we would be a spouse. When our husbands are thoughtless, we tend to roll our eyes with what do you expect? But when our friends let us down, our response can be, I'm done with her. I'm cutting her out of my life. And we find it difficult to keep going with friendships, and they can be difficult. And sometimes we need to forgive each other and to work through it. Colossians 3, verse 13 says this, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Friendship is not an easy thing. And yet so often we think it should be. Rather, friendship is forged in the middle of our sin, in our suffering, and the difficulty of life. So bear with one another. Keep forgiving. Keep being generous. Final piece of wisdom, final ingredient to make up healthy relationships. Share in a greater cause. Share in a greater cause. It was C.S. Lewis who made the observation that friendship is always about something. It tends to be something that brings us together as friendship. So it could be doing work together. It could be living in the same place together. It could be doing a camp together. It could be the love of food or cricket or a task or children or whatever it might be. Something brings us together, which for a Christian is even more the case, isn't it? For Christians, there is something at the deepest level that we share. And our job in Christian friendship is to point one another to Jesus Christ. He is the greater cause that we share. One of the great Bible examples of this is the friendship between David and Jonathan in the Old Testament. We looked at this about 18 months ago as a church. It's one of the Bible's great friendships. And once when David was being pursued by King Saul and his life was in danger and he found himself alone, we read this. Jonathan sought him out and went to David, 1 Samuel 23, verse 16, if you want to look it up. 1 Samuel 23, verse 16. Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him to find strength in God. Helped him to find strength in God. That is a wonderful picture of Christian friendship. Coming alongside a friend in need and helping them find strength in God. Appointing us to God. Speaking truth into our lives. That is the best thing we can do as Christians for one another. A great example, a great illustration of friendship is in a task is Lord of the Rings. Any Lord of the Rings fans out there? A few Lord of the Rings fans. And Frodo and Sam, you have an amazing story of friendship in a task. Frodo called Sam a friend of friends. And what's lovely is actually to think about how J.R.R. Tolkien obviously wrote Lord of the Rings. And he spoke very warmly about his friendship with C.S. Lewis as being the only way, actually, he got the book out. Without C.S. Lewis's friendship, he wouldn't have got this book done. He says this, "The unplayable debt that I owe to C.S. Lewis was not influence, as it is ordinarily understood, but sheer encouragement. He was for long my only audience. Only from him did I ever get the idea that my stuff could be more than a private hobby. But for his interest and unceasing eagerness for more, I should never have brought The Lord of the Rings to a conclusion." It's wonderful to see how friendship enables us to achieve a task. We could testify to that, I'm sure, in so many different ways. How much greater in Christian friendship to be encouraging us to the task of following Jesus and serving him and living for him and proclaiming him. More than anything else, that is what we've got to be about in our friendships with one another. Rebecca McLaughlin again puts it like this. "We are not called to foster friendships solely for their own sake. Rather, Christian friendships are designed to help us fight. Fellow soldiers come alongside each other in the battle. They spur each other on and have each other's backs. And we will need our fellow soldiers in the Lord as we resist an enemy who is far beyond our strength." That, more than any other reason, is why we need Christian friends to keep us going, to spur us on. Proverbs 27 says this, "As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens one another." And again, this is what we're all about in our small groups. When we gather together, Sunday by Sunday, that's why we have a coffee time question, to encourage us in this. And can I encourage us, when we meet just one-to-one in our homes, let's be all about this, pointing one another to Christ. And just one caveat on this, we don't have to be Jesus. So often in friendship, we can feel like we've got to solve the problem. We don't have to be Jesus. We need to show people Jesus. We need to point people to Jesus. That is what we can do as a friend. And of course, we might be thinking, well, I have many friends who are not yet Christians. And that is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to have friends who are not yet Christians, of course. And we can enjoy those friendships in so many different ways. But ultimately, don't we long to point them also to Christ? Because it's in him that they can know salvation. That is the only place, the only name in heaven and earth that brings salvation is Jesus Christ. And we long to point our friends to him. So there we go. A few things we can chuck into our friendship stew, as it were. Choose friends well. Let your friendship groups be porous. Communicate with candor and care. Bear with one another. Share in a greater cause. And that brings us this lovely picture of friendship in the gospel, which brings us to Romans 16, for which we're so glad to have read earlier. Because it is a wonderful picture. Does it ever strike you, when you read Paul's letters, I don't know whether I've, for years and years and years, there's always the bit at the end of the letter where all these names start coming out and they're difficult to pronounce. You think, why are you bothering with that? Just give me the doctrine. Tell me what to do. That's what I need. But of course, it gives us a wonderful insight into the relationships that the Apostle Paul and the other apostles and the early Christians had with one another. And they're a wonderful picture. I love Romans 16. It's one of my favourite chapters of the Bible, because it speaks of such deep friendship and partnership and love for one another as people are together, shoulder to shoulder, in the cause of the gospel, in the cause of Jesus Christ. And that is a similar picture I think we see in so many ways here at St. Michael's, and a picture in which we want to be growing in together here as a church and encouraging one another in our friendships with many people beyond this church as well. Well, we're going to draw to a close now. Let's just take a moment. There's a coffee time question that you might want to think. What particularly, maybe one of those five has particularly struck you? Why not just bring that before the Lord now? And the band might like to come up, and I'll lead us in a prayer in a moment, and then we will turn to encourage each other by pointing each other to Jesus Christ in a few moments. But just take a moment just to let all this different stuff that we've been thinking about digest a little bit. Take a moment of quiet, and I'll lead us in prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for the gift of friendship. We thank you for one another. And above all, we thank you for Jesus, as we're about to sing. He's the King of Kings, and yet also he comes to us as gentle Saviour, closest friend. Lord, help us to turn to him now so that we might grow in being able to be friends as he is to us. In his name we pray. Amen.